Spring into deals at Lowe's. Shop select 1.5-gallon annuals hanging baskets, 2 for $15, for the perfect addition to Mom's garden. Plus, get 3 free bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil when you buy 3. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/6, excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories at oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
I Think My House is Haunted by Foolscap 77. This will be long, so strap in. My partner and I moved into this house a little under 2 years ago. It's an average-looking rancher built in 1990. We're the second owners of the house. The original owner was an older man who had cared for his wife after she had a stroke. She ultimately passed away. And being in his late 70s, he decided to move to Florida. We met him briefly during one of the inspections, and he seemed normal. Nothing in the house seemed off either. There was a hurricane the night we moved in. Rushing back and forth from the Airbnb to get situated with our 2 cats that first night was stressful, to say the least. We basically threw down an air mattress, got out the litter box and cat food, and immediately passed out. Sad note incoming. When I woke up the next morning, my cat Oscar was dead. Since he was only 7, and I didn't know if something could harm his brother Max or us, I rushed and had an autopsy done. The vet basically said it was a blood clot, probably because of the stress of the move. I miss him. He was one hell of a cool cat. I think he's still around, his spirit or whatever. And I'm almost positive he visits and plays with Max some nights. Just seeing Max start chasing nothing around, the way they used to chase each other. I'm probably crazy, but I feel better believing it. One of the first weird things that occurred was a few weeks in. I was building some shelves in my office building, an idiot-proof kit with hardware and numbered bags. I was on the last step, which involved hammering in these 4 feet, each one similar to a giant thumbtack. I hammered in the first 3, and the 4th was just gone. I stood up and searched the room. I have no clue how it could have moved. I was sitting immobile on the floor, but who knows? It's nowhere. I check Max. He's a Maine Coon, so maybe it got stuck in his hair. After an hour of tearing apart most of the house, I give up and stack some quarters where that foot would have gone. I told my partner to keep an eye out for it. Well, we then found it 3 days later, on the top shelf of my coat closet, under a ball cap. I should mention it's just the 2 of us living in the house. We then start hearing things. And still do to this day. The amount of times one of us will rush into a room, thinking the other called out our name. Well, it's not even scary anymore, just annoying. Other times we'll hear crashing sounds. In the early days with boxes and things being scattered and being unpacked, I figured the cat just knocked something over. But when I'd go check, I'd find nothing amiss. The bathtub once turned on while we were eating dinner one night, and we found it running at full blast. Overall, things started escalating. My partner and I promised each other that neither of us were pulling pranks. It was serious enough that we swore to end the relationship if one of us ended up lying about it. A pact that continues to this day. At this point in the game, I had started looking into metaphysical things that I could do to help. I'm talking amethyst and obsidian pieces in the house, saging, stuff like that. I don't necessarily believe or disbelieve in it, so what can it hurt? It didn't really do much that I could tell. Things continued to happen. Twice in the same day, at vastly different times and in different bathrooms, we both experienced an incredibly loud pounding in the attic over the bathroom. I assume the ghost just didn't like whatever we had to eat that week. The locks had been changed at this point. I started looking throughout the house, wondering if someone was frogging. Nothing out of the ordinary. However, I did come to the realization that the attic was full of stuff from the previous owner. Luggage, clothes, and a whole bunch of other random stuff. I still haven't cleaned it out, so maybe something up there is tied to an entity. No clue. I've never felt anything malicious from the entity or whatever. My other half is terrified of it, though. I came home one day to find the crucifix in the bedroom turned sideways. I can sometimes feel every hair on my body stand up when I go in that room. This happens whenever activity is spiked. Halloween was fun. Giving out candy, talking with the neighbors in the cul-de-sac. One kid, maybe 4 years old, turns to look at my garage and casually says, "You have a goblin in your garage." We didn't have any decorations on that side of the house. I'm sure it's just random kids being weird kids, right? I have a habit of being flippant, and I started talking to the entity. My partner also tried once. At this point, we would sometimes hear breathing in the dark. One night, she's in the hall cleaning the cat litter. She felt something behind her and heard breathing. She calmly said, "I'm busy right now. Please leave me alone." The feelings and sensations instantly left. Then, all the doors in the hallway slammed shut. We both started wearing amethyst and obsidian jewelry, just in case. I thought ghosts might get bored, so I spoke to the ghost and set up a dozen books in the back bedroom, not knowing what it might be into. I'm nothing if not a gracious host. The next day, one of the books was found turned upside down and opened, as if being put down after being read. I kept more books out, but it never happened again. For Christmas, we had 6 different mini nativity scenes throughout the house. We found various pieces moved into scenes they didn't come with. We also had these little Christmas gnomes that we sat on the curtain rods. We found one sitting upright in the middle of the couch one morning, a good 12 feet away from where it was before. One night, we were sitting out front having a smoke, came inside and heard music. It ended up coming from a snow globe that was this old heirloom. We were not sure how it turned on when we were both outside. My partner had even forgotten it could wind up and make music. A box of tissues that we always keep on the living room end table was found in the garage one day. One night, my partner sends me a video while I'm out. We have a first-generation Alexa that was playing Bad Habits by Ed Sheeran. She came inside from having a smoke and recorded it blasting away. Except I had unplugged it earlier that day when our new toaster arrived. FYI, the first generations don't have battery backups. Another night, we came back inside to find one of our butcher blocks on the kitchen floor instead of in the knife block. One night, I woke up to hearing knocking at the front door. I could see through the glass it was a decoration we had hung outside, beating against the door. I opened the door, expecting to see a storm brewing, but the night was completely calm. The trees weren't even swaying. No wind whatsoever. The previous house owners smoked in the house at one point. That much we know. Weirdly, sometimes when you go in the back bathroom, it'll smell like someone is actively smoking a cigarette. There's been a crazy amount of times we've been outside and see movement. What appears to be a person in a window out of the corner of our eye. Friends and family who visit have also noticed this kind of stuff. Things go missing and reappear in random places far too often. So those are most of the big things. No, we don't have cameras inside. We've considered it. Feels like a lot of work to maybe catch something moving. Video proof wouldn't likely sway any non-believers anyways, since anything can be easily faked. The neighbors filled me in a bit about the history of the home. The father worked hard. His kids trashed the place and partied a lot. I don't know of anyone dying in that house or of any weird activities that took place. We considered getting the church to bless the home. My partner was raised Catholic, and I'm more agnostic, so I haven't jumped at the idea. Again, I don't believe, but don't not believe, when it comes to most spirituality, mysticism, and religion. I did look to see if there were any paranormal investigators nearby, and it doesn't look like there are any local ones. The activity in the house is so intermittent that I can't justify offering someone to come down when there are months that go by with nothing, then a bunch of stuff for a week straight. I thought maybe it was tied to some sort of event. Hell, even the phase of the moon. But so far I've got no clue. If you've gotten this far, thanks for reading. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Do you like dogs? I'm sure you do. I bet you're proud of the lovable mutt you rescued from the shelter. As you should be. Good job, both of you. Now it's time to unravel the mystery of your dog's DNA. No more wishful thinking when you brag about them being 1/8 Chihuahua. Discover their actual breed breakdown and know for sure with the Embark Dog DNA Test. It's the perfect, unique gift for any dog lover. It's not only sentimental and a fun discovery, but Embark also screens for over 270 genetic health risks. So you're being proactive about their health too, which I'd say is priceless. And it's super easy to use. Just swab, send, and discover. You'll get a full report in a couple of weeks, just in time to make some holiday memories. Aww. Unravel the mystery of your dog's DNA with Embark's Dog DNA Test. Head to EmbarkVet.com and use code TRAILS to save $65 on Embark's breed and health test and get free shipping. Again, visit EmbarkVet.com and use promo code TRAILS to save $65 on Embark's breed and health test today.
I Swear My Horse is an All Things Creepy Magnet by Lugos the Palomino. This took place in Michigan. Some background on myself. Since I was little, I've been able to see things and feel the paranormal. I know more about the Fae than I probably should, like accurately drawing an old fae portal almost perfectly with crayons when I was around 3 years old. I didn't even know the words fae or fairy at that age. I bought my first horse, an 8-month-old weanling colt, when I was 16. I named him Lugos, a variation of the Celtic sun god Lug, who fought in the Fae War. It was the only name he responded to when I tried naming him at 2 months old. I had been around horses for over 10 years by that time, so I knew a lot about their care. A few months after bringing him into the barn where I worked, he had gone to and returned from the hospital, and it was a hot July. He and his two older buddies were inside during the heat of the day and only went out at dawn and dusk. The day went normally. I got there in the morning, fed them, let them out, cleaned the stalls, then brought them back inside just before noon. I went for a swim and a nap, then came back before sunset at around 7 p.m. I put them out, cleaned them, made their dinner, and brought them in at around 11. The barn lights were broken, so it was dark inside. After dinner, I hugged the horse goodnight. When he turned his head toward his back leg, I thought that he had an itch that he couldn't reach, so I reached down, and my hand was now covered in blood. I pulled out my phone flashlight and saw that his back legs were all cut up, and he had a laceration. I called my mom, and she came to help me clean and bandage the wound. That night, I searched the pasture with a flashlight for any sign of how he could have gotten hurt, but I found nothing. We knew the vet wouldn't be able to help that late, so I called in the morning. He couldn't do much because of where the wound was and just told me how to treat it. Everything was fine and things went back to normal eventually. However, when I took the manure out to the compost, I noticed something strange. I always took the same route, but this time, there were clean intestines from a small animal lying right in front of me, as if someone had washed them and put them there for me to find. I asked the barn owner and the neighbors, and nobody knew anything about it. I felt uneasy, like it was an apology. I know enough about these things to bury it without saying thank you. I then remembered feeling watched in the past few days at the barn. I always brushed it off because it didn't feel scary or dangerous. But now I was rethinking the wounds on my horse. I looked back toward the woods. The pasture sits between the road and the forest, with a cornfield on the other side of the road and giant power lines beyond the forest. The wounds on my horse looked like something had grabbed its back legs. The cuts were as wide as my fingers, and the laceration was deep and crescent-shaped, like it had been made by a sharp blade or claw. He also had a scrape on the opposite side of his coronet on his hip, which could have been from playing or falling, though it wasn't dirty when I brought him in, so I don't think he fell. I couldn't shake the feeling that something did it. So we called a few friends over and asked them to walk the pasture to see if they felt anything. One was an older man named Jim, who said he felt uneasy like something was stalking the woods and trying to get in. The next two, a younger couple named Moon and Adam, were told nothing, yet they felt the same thing. Moon even said she sensed a lot of activity and possibly a portal between worlds. I then put an old iron horseshoe on my horse's stall wall, barely wedged between the wood. A few days later, a massive rainstorm hit out of nowhere, with strong winds and lightning. That night, my mom and I were helping the horses get inside when the power went out and the barn shook. I looked outside and saw the barn's owner's husband's car nearly flip from the wind. He made it inside and told us that we couldn't drive until the storm passed. He offered us the basement, but we chose to stay in the barn to keep an eye on the horses. My mom, a witch, started a spell to protect the barn. The wind got worse, and I had to hold the door closed. The horses were scared but safe in their stalls. About 30 minutes later, the storm stopped. It had lasted a few hours, and we looked outside to see that the trees had fallen onto the fence. T-posts were bent, and mud was everywhere. The power was still off, and two fire trucks with sirens passed us, followed by a storm chaser. We followed and found that a massive tree had fallen across the road. No one was hurt, but since it was the main road into town, they had to clear it quickly. When we asked the storm chaser why he was there, he said there was a tornado. There had been no sirens. It came out of nowhere. He said it was heading straight for the horse pasture, but dodged us last minute, hitting the yard of a nearby house and uprooting a tree. The next day, some friends, including Moon and Adam, came over to help fix the pastures. They immediately noticed that the thing was gone. No more feelings of being watched or hunted. We think that it left when the power went out, as it may have been trapped between the electric fence and the power lines. Lugo's healed without any lasting damage, though he has scars on his legs and a nasty scar down his hoof. Here are my thoughts on what it was. I think a fae got trapped and tried to take my horse with them or tried to ride him out. I believe the clean intestines were an apology, as intestines are considered the best part of a kill. Lugos didn't act traumatized like he had been attacked, and I never felt unsafe around the fae. I did have other sightings at that barn that weren't related to horses, like seeing a silver man and other various shadows. The horseshoe that I placed on his stall, which was barely wedged there, took me 20 minutes to remove when we moved. It was stuck, and I still don't know how. That night, we moved to a small farm surrounded by fields and forests. The house, built 120 years ago, definitely has ghosts. For the first few years, nothing happened with the horses until a few weeks before October 31st, 2023. I was in the back of the pasture at night, putting out hay, when I froze in place. Something was on the other side of the pine trees between the pasture and the fields. This thing, unlike the last, made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. It was shadowy, with yellow eyes, and it moved both animalistically and humanly. Its arms touched the ground as it darted back and forth, its head pointed at me. That same night, my e-collar remote went missing from my neck. I found it near the fence line that the creature patrolled. My horses refused to go near that spot at night, and I kept my dog away as well. On October 31st, we invited Moon and Adam over for pumpkin smashing and a bonfire. I asked them to walk with me in the pasture. As we got near the area where the creature stalked, my horse, now 3 years old, tried to push Moon back. Now, he never blocks people, as he knows it's a no-no. We ignored him and continued walking while he watched us. Adam then pointed at the trees and said, "What was that?" He then described exactly what I had seen. They were scared, so we headed back to the bonfire. A few days later at work, they pulled iron horseshoes from my favorite horse there. I kept them and placed one at each corner of the property. Since then, the thing hasn't returned. My thoughts on what this was? I have no idea. It didn't feel familiar, and I didn't recognize it. On this property, I've seen gnomes in the field, ghosts in the house, and fae traps, which are actually leaves and corn, waving me over, but with no wind. One night, I was in the barn with my horses, sitting in Lugos's stall, when I heard footsteps on the roof. Lugos and the other horse were both alert, heads up and ears forward. I heard footsteps walk from the front of the barn, over my horse's stall, and then stop above us. We sat there listening until it finally left. I scrambled out of the barn, locked the doors and windows, and kept the horses inside that night. My thoughts on this one? Well, again, I have no clue. Here's the last story. It's a recent one. In 2024, my contacts broke, and I didn't have any glasses. My two horses broke out and ran down the road. I chased them, forgetting my phone and carrying only a halter and bucket of grain. They ran through the fields and yards over a mile down the dirt road. I started crying, fearing that they would get hurt. I called out, "Please, let them come home." Just after that, they turned around and came back. I saw someone with black hair and a long red shirt walking my brown horse, Calavera. They were very small, just about chest height to my horse. I shouted, "Thank you. I'm so sorry they got out." But as I got closer, the person was just gone. I know that I saw someone. They were leading my horse home. However, my horses were unharmed. This was either a spirit or God answering my call for help. I don't know who, but I'm very grateful.
I'm Not Sure What I Saw by Living Dead Girl 196555. My mom had knee replacement surgery last Tuesday. She came home Wednesday, and by Saturday night, she had a fever and some redness around her knee, along with significant swelling in that whole leg. So we went back to the hospital. This was around 10 p.m., so it's dark. I'm driving, mom is in the passenger seat, and my 12-year-old daughter is in the back middle seat. We are driving along for 10 minutes on a rural highway, with no other cars in sight. I don't think we'd seen another vehicle since we left. As we drive through this particularly curvy stretch of highway, with a small creek on our right and a steep hillside on our left, the caution speed limit sign says 30 miles per hour. So we are going slow around these two curves. When all of a sudden, we see blue lights across the trees in front of us, inside the car. And when I looked in my rear view door mirror, I saw blue lights flash behind us. But this was just for a second. Like suddenly there was a cop behind us, but with no headlights. And he hit the cherries for 1 second, then was gone. And there were no red lights. Just a flash of very bright blue that lit up the inside of the car, and all around us, and then gone. Nothing. There was no cop. No other cars. Nothing behind or in front of us. So here's where it gets really weird. This place where the speed limit drops to 30 miles per hour, around these tight curves, is where two people died in a crash years ago. And I remember it because it kinda tore up the highway where the semi rolled. To this day, there are two wooden crosses on the side of the road in that spot. My mom is a very religious, good Christian woman who doesn't necessarily believe ghosts are walking this earth with us. But I, on the other hand, don't see things like she does, and believe souls have energy, and could very well exist without being in heaven or hell. She thinks it was a serial killer, or something along those lines, trying to get people to stop by flashing those bright blue lights at them. I personally think we passed through a glitch in the Matrix, and saw the emergency lights from the accident from where those people died. My daughter isn't sure what she saw. I mean, she saw what we did, but she didn't know what it was either. no logical explanation between the three of us.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Cedar Closet by As Above, So Below 75. We moved from the city to a big house in a quiet suburban neighborhood when I was 5. My parents bought the house from the widow of a very successful garment industry executive. He had the house custom built for his wife, and she had the entire thing professionally decorated with every room in a different theme. This made for a very interesting childhood with a lot of discoveries. Within a few days of moving in, my parents found 2 very strange books hidden in the crawl space above their closet. The first was a small address book with the names and addresses of prominent Jewish gangsters from the 1940s and 50s. The other was a notebook containing detailed information on animals, mainly dogs and cats. Maybe they were someone's pets. Well, my mother felt that it had to do with sacrifice, as there were pentagrams drawn and incantations written with dates. Both books were burned in the fireplace by my father shortly after uncovering them. Those things are unrelated to this story, but they are just a few strange details of the home that I grew up in. This story isn't about me, though. It's about my older brother. We'll call him Jay. He's the oldest of 3, 6 years my senior and 4 years older than my sister. My parents divorced when he was a teenager in the mid-80s, and at that point, all bets were off for my brother. My mom is very easygoing and hippie-ish, but my father always laid down the law. With him out of the house, my brother now had the freedom to do as he liked. This was the time of the Satanic Panic, heavy metal, Dungeons and Dragons, and the Commodore 64 computer. My brother embraced all of it. He was a classically trained and naturally gifted artist before all of this. He regularly won contests, and his art hung all around our house, as well as in our schools and principals' offices. He attended art school twice a week, but once he got into heavy metal and D&D, his interests shifted. He grew his hair long, and his circle of friends began to change. They went from nerdy computer kids to heavy metal heads in motorcycle jackets and Iron Maiden t-shirts. They would often be over at the house when I came home from school, and I could always smell what they had been up to. One of his new friends would change our perceptions of reality and our ideas about life after death. His name was Ed. He was a strange-looking guy, short, eccentric, and odd by all accounts, yet very nice at the same time. Eddie could also ride a unicycle and would regularly carry a Ouija board everywhere that he went. He carried it on his back beneath a long black trench coat. What gave Ed credibility in our eyes was the way that he used the board. He would only use one hand, barely touching it. In a flat, emotionless tone, he would recite the words being spelled out. The planchet would move around so fast and deliberately that it was hard to even see what it was spelling out. Seeing that as a little kid and not really understanding, well, it was scary. One night, shortly after our uncle committed suicide, our cousins came over. Ed was there as well. He knew no one there other than my brother, nor did he know any detail about my cousins losing their father. We were in my brother's room, and within a few minutes, Ed made contact with him. Ed, who had never met my cousin before, said, "L, I have a message for you. John says he's at peace in purgatory now and to take care of your mother and sister." He said a few more personal things that my cousin thought were profound because Ed could never have known any of it. My cousin, now crying, said, "How do I know this is really even you?" Ed replied, "How about a picture? Maybe a headshot?" This rocked my whole family in that room. My uncle had taken his life by shooting himself in the head. Even crazier still, that response was precisely his brand of dark humor. He would totally say something like that. They were all reduced to tears, including my mother, who had only come in to see why everything had gotten so quiet. Ed became a regular guest at our house for a while, and the happenings became stranger and stranger, but it would all eventually come to a head for my brother. One weekend, my sister and I were with our dad, and my mother was away, so my brother had the house all to himself. He said he had a few friends over and they were playing computer games in the basement. Next to the computer desk was the door to a large cedar closet. This was where my mother kept all of our seasonal clothes and her better clothing. For the most part, no one really went in there and the door was always closed. There were three people there when the lights went out in the basement. Everyone froze in place. Then the door to the cedar closet began to slowly rattle. It was pitch dark, so they didn't know where the sound was coming from at first. Then it got louder and more intense. Someone then lit a lighter. The rattling became banging as if someone was trying to get out. My brother said it looked like the heavy wooden door was going to burst from its hinges, and to this day, he is convinced that something huge was on the other side of the door that night. The three of them ran up the stairs, tripping over each other in the dark, and out the front door. When my mother came home the following afternoon, the door was still wide open and my brother was nowhere to be found. Eventually, he turned up and he told her what they had experienced the night before. She must have believed him because she had the house blessed shortly afterward. We all saw, felt, and experienced things in that house that could never be explained, but not all of it was scary or evil to me. My takeaway growing up there was that sometimes people themselves are haunted. Maybe it's just the way they interact with places that draw out different energies and project them at that person.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Let's dive into that story you narrated about the haunted house and the experiences surrounding the brother named Jay.
Oh yeah, such a good one.
Yeah, it was great. Imagine growing up in a place like that, just filled with so much history. I don't even think I've lived in anything built before the 80s. I'm probably missing out.
Yeah. The house itself was interesting enough, but what would really make me feel uneasy growing up there would be finding the address book full of all of those prominent 1940s gangsters and all of their contact info.
Tommy Tough Knuckles.
Always Tommy.
Yeah, yeah. Then there's the second notebook with all the details on cats and dogs. Like, what's going on there?
Well, I think they did the right thing by burning them.
Yeah, or maybe the wrong thing.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how easily ghosts get offended.
You know, we should consider starting each episode with a well-intentioned, mind you, trigger warning for any ghosts or any lingering spirits who might be listening to the show.
I am not kidding when I say that might be a great idea, covering our asses in the afterlife.
All right, then I'll get to writing it up.
Yeah. So this story, it was actually from the same author as the Geisha Lamps story.
I wonder if it was in the same house as the incident with the lamps.
Maybe. Yeah, I'll have to reach out and check up on that. They do have another story I'm going to be sharing on next week's episode that I'm really excited about, but they jump ahead to the 90s.
I love these stories from past decades. It's like watching a period film.
Oh, yeah, man. I love a good time capsule movie. Zodiac is like my definitive period piece movie.
That one is so good. Gotta love Fincher. I can't really pick a favorite, but one that comes to mind just because it was made in the 80s but set in the 50s is Stand By Me. Mm-hmm. I actually thought it was filmed in the 50s when I was a lot younger. My mind was blown when I finally connected Corey Feldman and the Goonies, and I noticed he definitely didn't look 30 years older.
Yeah, I could see thinking it was filmed in the 50s if you hadn't seen any of those actors before. I saw Lost Boys before I saw Stand By Me. So I think seeing Kiefer Sutherland placed it in the 80s for me.
Well, I'm glad he was able to do that for you.
Yeah. The Sutherlands are a common name in my movie collection. I love Donald. Definitely one of my favorite actors of all time.
Oh, yeah. Clute, Don't Look Now. He was a staple of the 70s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. One movie I always thought that was filmed in the time that it takes place was Singing in the Rain. It came out in the 50s, but it takes place in like the 20s. So it's basically like if there were a movie made today that took place in the 90s, you know, it just doesn't seem that far off.
Time is such a weird construct. I really do wish we could collectively agree to just not partake in its progression.
It's weird, too, how time feels like it's speeding up as we get older. I don't really like thinking too much about it. It freaks me out.
Yeah, no, I don't either.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I liked that first haunted house story that you read by Foolscap.
Yeah, there was a lot of random stuff happening there. I have a cat, and he'll sit up and stare at the wall, meowing in a way that doesn't sound like any other meow, but I don't know. I don't think it's anything that's paranormal. But I don't see anything that he could be seeing. No flies, shadows. I don't know. It's kind of concerning, I think. But do your dogs act that way?
Yeah.
Do they do anything that's beyond any explainable chihuahua behavior?
Well, there was a short period of time where Gadget, my female chihuahua mix, she's like 2-3 years old. She would wake up in the middle of the night and stare into the dark, like into the corner, and just whine. And she would do this every night for about a week or a week and a half, and we couldn't figure out what was going on. It was always 3 a.m. too, you know, obviously, the witching hour.
Of course.
And I'm sure I've talked about it on the show before, but yeah, I think that there was something there, like some kind of spirit or presence. It was just too weird.
Could be. It just took a while for the presence to let it be known to Gadget that they were friendly enough for her to not be concerned.
Yeah.
My bigger dog never barks unless somebody shows up to the house, but there have been like 3 times where he has done that same bark after midnight, and I hate thinking about it so much because it can't just be a false alarm in my head. It has to have meant he saw an intruder or a ghost. That's it. One of those two.
Yeah. A dog's sense of smell and all that is great, but their intuition is really, really good.
So good that they bark to tell the world who fails their vibe check.
Yeah. I still find myself taking it a little personal when cute dogs bark at me, even though I totally get why they do it.
I know. It's like, what do you see in me? Why do I deserve this?
Yeah. I really want to hear a rational explanation for that piece of furniture reappearing up on the bookshelf. You know, I'm already calling Poltergeist on this one.
See, that's a completely fair suggestion. It's just the two of them in that house, and if we can trust that there isn't any sort of pranking going on, I'd say most of this stuff is notable and not at least immediately dismissible.
Oh, yeah, and the stuff left over in the attic really creeped me out a lot.
Yeah, the stuff itself and the whole haunted object possibility.
Exactly. And then the author mentioned something in the attic being tied to an entity. I wonder if they meant an entity tied to something in the attic? Either way, I'm sure it's possible somebody could have passed away there and They may have some connection to something in the attic.
Or like that little kid who walked up might say, "You have a goblin in your attic."
Yeah. It's funny how unfiltered kids are with stuff like that.
Seriously. And I remember those kinds of kids when I was a kid too. They'd be the ones who you'd only ever see them like sitting on the bus or something. And they would always make a point to tell you about what they heard their parents doing last night. Just some form of like constant oversharing. And they're weird. They're the weirdest side characters in life.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of used to be like that. I didn't have a lot of social skills or social training growing up, so I just kind of made conversation with everybody when I was a kid and just said whatever was on my mind.
You just kind of found out what stuck and what didn't.
Yeah, I guess that's why I became a podcaster.
There you go. And it worked out for the better.
Yeah. Well, thanks everybody so much for listening. We appreciate you all. You can send your stories into stories@oddtrails.com if you want to hear them on the show. And make sure to sign up for our Patreon if you want to get access to ad-free versions of all of our episodes every single week. And finally, check out the new episodes of my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet, Cryptic Encounters, and the Old Time Radio Cast at CrypticCountyPodcasts.com. We'll see you all next week, everyone. Stay safe.
Peace out.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.